You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Today is the beginning of the 53rd season of broadcasting the Lutheran Hour, begun in 1930 as a network broadcast by Dr. Walter A. Meyer, and continuously on the air ever since 1935. You might call it a church broadcast, but it is not a duplication of a church service or a substitute for it. It has always been sponsored by the laymen of the church, taking a direct part in the mission of the church to reach people all over the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The laymen are grateful to all of you who have helped to make the broadcast what it is, one of the most extensive broadcasts of any kind in the world today, with 22 offices airing programs in various languages, receiving responses from listeners, and responding to their needs. Laymen value a church that proclaims and lives by the grace of God freely given to the world in His Son, Jesus Christ. The grace of God is free, but it is not cheap. It is not a bargain for which you trade something in order to get a good deal. It's not like trading in your old car at a good price in order to buy a new one. At its best, the church proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people discover a treasure that's so valuable no one could ever buy it at any price. It is more valuable than the field in which it is found. It is like a pearl of such surpassing beauty that there's nothing else against which its value could ever be measured. In a couple of clipped sentences, Jesus Christ told that story with his customary brevity and also with his usual recognition of how people think and feel. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Who can resist a really good bargain? People will buy something at a bargain price, even if they do not need it. During World War II, when things were scarce, I can remember seeing a picture of a man wearing a sweater that was at least five sizes too big for him, the sleeves extending beyond the tips of his fingers. When asked why he bought that sweater, he replied, "Because it was a bargain." On the streets of big cities, and maybe also in small towns, you can be approached by creepy characters who whisper, "Hey, buddy, want to buy a watch? Cheap?" You can find them on the streets of Rome and Rio and Paris and Peoria. The reason? A natural and insatiable human thirst for a good deal, a bargain, of getting something cheaper than its value, of beating the seller, of winning the lottery, of getting something for nothing. Any New York taxi driver can tell you you don't get nothing for nothing. High-priced advertisements from the telephone company inform you you get what you pay for. So-and-so did win the state lottery, of course, but a lot of other people paid for that win by getting nothing. Department stores, sidewalk vendors, and the state lottery are not in it for charity. I'm sorry to say that churches are sometimes enticed into this secular game. A lot of religion is pandered as a bargain or as a good deal. Some churches' hucksters hustle millions of people for their dollars in the sad search of hunting for bargains, even in the spiritual realm. The side street fortune tellers guarantee finding a fortune or meeting a mate. Then there are the gurus who guarantee immunity from depression or poverty or disease by the abandoning of oneself to their philosophies and, not incidentally, surrendering a good part of one's assets. These two little parables of Jesus clear up any idea that the church, wherever it really is the church, is a bargain. The kingdom of God, faith in God, life in Christ, and the spiritual treasures which are hidden in Christ are no bargain. The man in Jesus' parable, for the joy of his discovery, went out and sold everything he had and bought that field. Again, a man having discovered one invaluable pearl, sold everything he had and bought it. There is a treasure to be had. That might come as a surprise to the passive, bored, non-participatory types who toy with Christ and with the gospel of Christ. Neither excited about the gospel nor captivated by it, certainly not surrendering to it, they can take it or leave it. Take it, perhaps, on Christmas and Easter, and leave it when it comes to demands on their lives, or for that matter, on rainy days or at any other moment when something else beckons. Jesus Christ cut into the meandering mess that many call life, raising the sights upon the grace and the goodness of God, along with his offer of forgiveness and life through faith in him, limitless in scope and free for the asking. That offer cost the Father a great deal. The price was the Son of his love, freely giving himself up for us all in payment for the mountainous sin of a lost world. The consequence of Christ's cross is, first of all, his resurrection from the dead. And then it is the free offer of forgiveness, life, and salvation from all the wretchedness of bargain hunting on the part of people who still think they can earn their way into his favor. There are many good reasons for joining a church. Here are some offered by people in a membership class at one congregation. There's something missing in my life. I want to know God better. I want to belong to God's family in this community. I want to meet other people and get closer to members of my family. I want to become a better person, a better Christian. There are other reasons people have for going to church and joining a church. I've known people who've joined a church to save money. They got a good feeling out of giving money for a worthy cause so that it could be deducted on their income tax. Besides, you can get a good meal for much less at a church dinner than you would pay for a comparable meal in a restaurant. Bazaars, rummage sales, auctions offer big bargains in clothing, white elephants, Christmas ornaments, and other items. A woman told me that her daughter-in-law bought a bassinet at the church fair, which she has used for years. A real bargain. There is a treasure to be had at its very best. The church offers a treasure which can be described only as life and salvation. It comes to people through a real reversal from everything they had known before, with real repentance toward God and real faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves a life of continuing repentance, of which Martin Luther said in the first of his 95 Theses, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he meant that the whole life of a Christian should be repentance. It also involves continuing and developing faith in Jesus Christ, without which repentance has no meaning. Of people who had acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, St. Paul added, they are rooted down and built up in him, always overflowing with thanksgiving. People need the medicine of God to bring down the burning fever for speed and gadgets. They need the surgery of God to remove the huge goiter of guilt that makes everyone sick and tired of himself and serves only as the anesthetic for the nagging ache for more. They need a new heart to replace the exhausting compulsions of this age. They need to dig deep into the unbelievable treasure chest of God. They need the expensive perfume of God's righteousness to remove the smoldering odor of passion and prejudice. They need the scholarship God gives to free people from their ignorance with a quick peek beyond the walls of their own mortality. There's still a more excellent way than beating others or beating them up in the game of life. A better country than Treasure Island. What is the treasure? It is finding the lost directions to real life, replacing the aimlessness and meaninglessness which have people constantly looking and never finding. It is God's word with God's own authority behind it, pointing always to Jesus Christ, God's own Son, and the designated Messiah to bring salvation to the whole world. It is God's love, freely offered to be freely received, gracefully given to be gratefully accepted. It is the kingdom of God, where God rules and people enjoy the treasures of forgiveness, life, and salvation coming from His gracious hand. Jesus offers this treasure. It is both a surprise and a search. There's a danger that you only partly believe in the value, but not enough to act on that belief. You may not be far from the kingdom of God, but not being a part of it means you might as well be far from it. Finally and for all, there is no substitute for faith in Christ. The man found the treasure in the field, covered it up, and went out and sold all he had in order to buy that field. Somebody put that treasure there and forgot about it. Or maybe he died. To become the proud possessor of that treasure, the man not only had to live there, but had to own the field. He had to be at home there. The man who found the pearl of incredible value recognized the importance of his find right away. He knew the territory, so to speak. He was not like the simple, the naive, the unknowing, or the greedy, to be taken in by sales appeals through which the sellers never lose. Precious pearls are more likely to be found at Tiffany's than at Woolworth. Hidden treasure is more likely to be found at the Museum of Art than at the Odd Lot Trading Company. It's important to know where to look for the kingdom of God. With all its weaknesses, with all its fits and starts, it is still the church that is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. By and large, the mission of Christ is still being carried on in congregations of people who believe in Christ enough to help others find the treasure they themselves have found. The Bible is being translated, printed, and distributed throughout the world by groups of people who believe in the Bible enough to bring it to other people so that they too may find the treasure. The treasures of the kingdom of God are always to be found in Jesus Christ. He's talking about himself when he compares the kingdom of God to a treasure found in a field and to a pearl, which the seeker of pearls happened to find to his own great amazement. It is amazing that God should offer you the gift of eternal life out of the goodness of his heart. That is what is meant by the grace of God. He does things for you which you could never do for yourself. He gives you what you could not obtain with the greatest effort. The grace of God, however, is not cheap. It cost Jesus his life. He died for you. He lives for you, having been raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. He gives to you, as only he can, out of the grace and glory of God that sent him to be the Savior of the whole world, including you. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not a hamster in a cage running round and round to nowhere. You are part of God's overall plan for the salvation of the world. Anything you do or say has significance that is eternal. Eternal life means that God forgives you and gives you strength to live in a most God-like way. You learn what it means to be a new person, how to forgive instead of taking revenge. You find out the treasure of love, which comes straight to you from the heart of God. You learn to practice love bit by bit. You become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As you can see, that calls for commitment of a high order. It is not cheap. It calls for sacrifice, just as God sacrificed his Son for you. It summons you to repentance, which can never be called cheap. Genuine trust in Christ is a lot more than just striking a bargain with God. It is life itself expressing itself in love, love which does not wear a mask. Being a citizen of the kingdom of God means giving up your pride, giving up those notions which nudge people and lead them astray, like, I'm a good person, I live a decent life, I don't hurt anybody, God will surely accept me. It is giving up your self-will and submitting to God's will. It is forming the habit of saying, "What shall I do now, Lord?" I know it is painful. It goes against our grain. There's a high price to pay for the treasure, when it means possessing the ground where the treasure is found, with genuine repentance, which is a complete change of mind and heart, and trusting faith in Jesus Christ that uncovers the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are hidden in Him. The church is no bargain, but it proclaims the gospel of Christ and gives you a lot more than you ever bargained for. The gospel is no bargain. It cost Jesus a great deal to become the Savior of the world. Nevertheless, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now look at Him. He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. For the joy that is set before you, my friend, relish the search for the great prize of the high calling of God in Christ the Lord, who gave His all for you and expects nothing less from you. Amen.